Romans 12:1. First of all, from the KJV, and then the Living. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, pure, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. Then from the Living, Romans 12, and so, dear brothers, I pled with you to give your bodies to Yahweh. Let them be a living offering, separated, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different, transformed one by the renewing of your mind, with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Be new and different, transformed by the renewing of your mind, renewing by the word of Yahweh. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. That's from a Romans 12, a paraphrase. I am responsible to Yahweh for everything, even the smallest details. And rock makes an appeal to the physical and carnal. We're going to show you some examples today. Those who live superficial lives spiritually will obviously gravitate quickly to such an approach of the carnal. Rock, which entertains by arousing the listener sexually, seems extremely ill-fitted to be clothed by the gospel. Although in most instances, rock is supposedly the medium of the gospel. My question is, how is our music any different from the world's? We listen to the same rock beat stuff, and we think just because it is 40 years old, then it is okay to listen to anything. Well, let's use some discretion here. The hypocrite replies, I am different. I do this or that, and they do not. I don't smoke, drink, or dance. You are correct that the world's churches do not keep the Sabbath, the feast days, the separated name, the clean and unclean. You do refrain from pagan holidays. You do keep the new moons. You keep the new year differently than other believers. Hopefully you keep it near the Feast of Tabernacles, at the Feast of Trumpets. You might even speak in tongues. And what is love? They talk about, well, it's all about love. But 1 John 5:2, the word says that we speak with the, actually in Corinthians, the word says that we speak with the tongues of men and of messengers, and if we have not love, we are as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13:1. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in 1 John 5:2-3, for what is love? What is love? It is keeping of Yahweh's commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And this is love, that we keep the commandments of Yahweh. Now here are some objections now to this message here about pure music from someone. I am sure if the researcher looked hard enough, he could say bad things about opera, classical, jazz, and so forth. Mr. Bob Larson was right on some things and could be off on others. Bob Larson, the author, who wrote at first negatively about rock music and later on changed his tune, sadly. I don't believe all the 40-year-old rock and roll music is bad. This person tried to discredit Bob Larson, the researcher. So I think if we were to be nitpicky, all music would have a minus. And at times, Larson went off the deep end, according to that man. Of course, to be error in one point does not condemn the whole, if he was in error in just one thing. As long as he wasn't trying to throw in a mixture of scripture of truth and error. But if it was about secular things, then and his scientific research, well, then some may in fact be a slight bit of error there. Well, that comment was made by a messianic preacher. Opera music, possibly bad? Yes, some of it could be, for sure. Classical? Yes, some classical music encourages idolatry and manipulates the nervous system to cause a morose spirit. And it really drags on and and with that repetitious clanging sometime in classical. Is there bad jazz? Oh, yes. A lot of it is way carnal. 40-year-old music does not change its moral quality by comparison to some of the 2011 music or 2012. It would seem to be less harmful with all that music from 40 years ago when you compare it with 2012. But it still has the same properties as before. The author does not condemn all music. He gave quotes and references on the rock artists of the 1970s. If Mick Jagger said he would use the medium of music to corrupt America, then you heard it right from the horse's mouth, Mick Jagger, that he would use the medium of music to corrupt America. Some songs may be innocent, but let us listen cautiously to secular music. I'm getting to some of those examples later. And on my website, I have the different files about music there. Media Affects Humans, Intensive Media and a Twisted Culture, and this brand new one here that we're putting up. Christian Rock Music from BiblicalPerspectives.com, written by Samuel Bakayoki. It's an excellent article. And we're cherry-picking from some of that book. The underlying assumption of the teaching is that Yah's people and secular people are attracted to rock music because of what it offers them in terms of excitement, worldview, value system, and religious experience. Christian rock music focused on the worldview of rock music. Christian rock music on the view of rock music is development and religious experience. In the book, Christian Rock Music, in Chapter 2, rock music reflects a pantheistic concept of Yahweh. So in other words, many, many gods, idolatrous gods. Rock music reflects a pantheistic conception of Yahweh as an immanent, impersonal, supernatural power which the individual can experience through the hypnotic rhythm of rock music and drugs. The pantheistic conception of Yahweh has facilitated the acceptance of rock music among both Yah's people and secularly minded people, because both groups seek to fulfill the inner urge for a pleasurable experience of the supernatural through the hypnotic effects of rock music. Also in Chapter 2, philosophically, we found that rock music rejects the scriptural transcendent view of Yahweh, promoting instead a pantheistic conception of the supernatural as an impersonal power which the individual can experience through the hypnotic rhythm of rock, music, drugs, and sex. In Chapter 3, we trace the ideological evolution of rock music, and you can do so by reading that article, Chapter 3 of Christian Rock Music, by focusing on the values that have emerged during the course of its history. We found rock music has gone through an easily discernible hardening process from very innocent rock and roll, which originally meant backseat sex, easy rock and roll, soft rock, to hard rock, acid rock, heavy metal rock, rap rock, thrash rock, and the like. New types of rock music are constantly appearing because rock fans constantly demand something stronger and stronger to meet their craving. Also in Chapter 3, Dr. Bakayoki noted historically that rock music has gone through a hardening process, blatantly promoting, among other things, a pantheistic, hedonistic worldview, an open rejection of the pure faith and values, sexual perversion, civil disobedience, violence, Satanism, occultism, Sodom, and then there's that word that... masochism. All right, I made it through there. Along with the sodomy, and occultism, Satanism, and so on, and violence. Then in Christian Rock Music by Samuel Bakayoki in Chapter 4, you find that the pantheistic worldview promoted by rock music has eventually led to the rejection of the true faith and to the acceptance of a new kind of religious experience. The latter involves the use of rock music, sex, drugs, and dance to transcend the limitation of time and space and connect to the supernatural. In chapter 4, religiously, we see rock music has led to the rejection of our faith once delivered to the saints and to the acceptance of a new kind of religious experience. Sex, drugs, violence, and rock and roll to transcend the limitation of time and space and to connect with the supernatural. The balance between three basic elements, melody, harmony, and rhythm. We have found that rock music reverses this order by making rhythm its dominant element that overshadows the harmony and melody. Yah's people should respond to rock music by choosing instead the great music that respects the proper balance among melody, harmony, and rhythm. The proper balance among these three may well correspond to the proper balance in our life among the spirit, mind, and body. And possibly in the background, we could hear a little bit of Danny on the piano. He's from what I would call Southern Oregon, from the Myrtle Creek area. Danny on the piano, some fine music there to grease the turntables by. You get oiled up and nice and relaxed. Frank Garlick and Kurt Wotzel, W-O-E-T-Z-E-L, in their book Music in the Balance, present a concept that was new to Dr. Bakayoki, but which he found worth considering. They explain graphically about music that melody responds to the spirit, harmony responds to the mind, and rhythm responds to the body. So you get that body rhythm, and the in rock and roll, you get the body rhythm, the harmony of the mind, and the melody goes last, and then is destructive to the spirit. There should be melody first, which is healthy for the spirit. Melody feeds the spirit, the harmony, and the rhythm last. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. This part of music to which the spirit responds to is the melody, suggested by Ephesians 5:18, where Paul admonishes to be filled with the spirit. He admonishes believers to be filled with the spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody. The parallelism, I thought I could make it through that word, but I couldn't. Parallelism suggests that making a melody is equivalent to singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing the melody, singing the tune of a religious song, not only in church or your synagogue or assembly, but also driving, working, walking, or even taking a shower, expresses our joy and praise to Yahweh who fills us with His Spirit. This part of music to which our mind responds to is the harmony. So that part of music which our mind responds to is the harmony. The first part of to the spirit, our spirit responds to the melody, our mind responds to the harmony, and the body responds to the rhythm. So that part of the music to which our mind responds to the harmony, that's because harmony is the intellectual part of music. Virtually anybody can produce a simple melody, but it takes extensive musical training to write and understand the various chords, the various parts. A good-sounding melody can be arranged only by a trained musician. The harmony, as suggested by the meaning of the word, harmonizes the melody and rhythm. The part of music to which the body responds to is the rhythm. The word rhythm derives from rheo, the Greek word R-E-O, which means to pulse or to flow. The rhythm is the pulse of the music, which finds an analogical correspondence to the pulse of the heartbeat. Let's look up John chapter 7, verse 38, and see how Yahweh looks on this. And check our website, yahweh.name. Verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. To flow. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Speaking of the spirit, the pulse of the heart and the rhythm of the music. suggests that the analogy between the pulse of the body and the rhythm of the music will help any desirous person or Christian to gain discernment in his choice of music. To illustrate this concept, they provide this helpful chart. Too much pulse, or erratic pulse, the result is the body becomes sick. Too much erratic rhythm, the music is sick. Too much rhythm, the music is sick. No pulse, the body is dead. And I know a lot of examples of that kind of music too. When there is no rhythm, the music is dead. With pulse under control, the body is well. And with the rhythm under control, the music is well. Our bodies have a pulse, and so does music, writes a medical doctor, John Diamond. The analogy between the pulse of our body and the rhythm of music, recognized by medical doctors. In a healthy state, we are in touch with our inner pulse, which Dr. Manfred Klein so well describes as the key to the empathy we experience with a composer. The phenomenon of the inner pulse is, in effect, an internally conducted beat. Rhythm is the principal part of the music. As in the human body, the pulsation of the heartbeat must be within a normal range for the body to be well, so in music, the rhythm must be balanced for the music to be good. The problem with rock music is that the rhythm or beat dominates in order to appeal primarily to the physical and sensual aspect of human nature. Oh, that's a profound statement. The problem with rock music, the rhythm or beat dominates to appeal primarily to the physical and sensual aspects of our human nature. The physical sensual impact of rock rhythm is widely recognized by scholars in his book, Sound Effects, Youth, Leisure, and the Politics of Rock and Roll. English sociologist Mr. Simon Frith, F-R-I-T-H, emphatically states, the sexuality of music is usually referred to in terms of its rhythm. It is the beat that commands a direct physical response. The same view is clearly expressed in David Tame's book, The Secret Power of Music. When pulsation and syncopation are the rhythmic foundation of the music at a dance hall, the movements of the dancers can invariably be seen to become very sensual. Order in the Christian life, order in the life of a true believer. By stimulating the physical and sensual aspects of the body, rock music throws the order out of a true believer, throws out the balance. Mr. Tame often refers to what he calls one timeless axiom, as in music, so in life. As Yah's people, we can reverse the axiom and say, as in life, so in music. In other words, the order of priorities of the Christian life with the spiritual first, the mental second, and the physical third should be reflected in the music itself. The believer who is preoccupied with and spends most of his efforts on the physical, on the body, that believer is sensual rather than the spiritual, rather than a spiritual believer. He's carnal, a carnal believer. The child of Yahweh who exerts most of his energies on improving the mind to the neglect of his spiritual and physical needs places undue emphasis on intellectual pursuits. And the true believer with a scriptural order and balance in his life emphasizes the spiritual first, the intellectual or emotional second, and the physical last. Let's take a look at Romans. Also take a look at Matthew 6:33, the Sermon on the Mount. But Matthew 6:33 says, Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. So, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you could also read 2 Corinthians 10:5, which I've just about found the address. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Oh, wait a minute, your obedience isn't going to be done away with. that some people think the word fulfill means to do away with. But anyway, that was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I had to get that rib in there to those people who are always trying to live by the exceptions to the rule. Romans 13:14, but put you on Yahushua HaMashiach, or put on the Messiah, and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And that's the last verse in Romans chapter 13. Castells from around 1959, the Castells. Chuck Gerard there, the lead vocal. And his title was Sacred, which we could change to Pure or Separate or Kodesh. So we talked about the Christian rock music. Garlock and Wurzel developed this correlation, the two authors, this correlation very logically. As the spiritual considerations of life receive priority by the balanced believer, so the melody, that part of the music to which the spirit responds, the melody must dominate music in the called out one's life, and the believer's life. Similarly, the harmony, that part of the music to which the mind and emotions respond, the harmony needs to have a supportive role in music, just as the mind and emotions play a secondary role in the called out one's experience. And last and most obvious, last, the rhythm, that part of the music to which the body responds. Rhythm must be under strict control in music. Don't let it get out of control, out of your control, or out of your leader's control. Oh, and by the way, we're getting closer to the end of the broadcast here. Probably another 10 ticks or so on the clock. So just as the body, and its desires need to be disciplined in the true believer's life, the music, the rhythm must be disciplined as well. The challenge we all face in the true believer's life is to keep our body in the proper relationship to the mind and spirit. Paul refers to this in 1 Corinthians 9, a struggle, when he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And like Paul, we need to be disciplining our body by avoiding those things that feed only our carnal nature. We need to cultivate a taste for the right kind of music that respects the proper balance among the melody, harmony, and rhythm. Such music reinforces the proper order of our life among the spiritual, mental, and physical for true believers of Yahweh or Yahawahosha. Musically, we have shown by the book Christian Rock Music that rock music differs from all forms of music because of its driving, loud, relentless beat. Scientific studies have shown that the rock beat can alter the mind and cause severe physical reactions, including sexual arousal. Some people obviously do. There's news stories about, five children who killed because they were listening to heavy metal. And, maybe we'll scrape up that article later there for you, and maybe not, because no, it's not showing up here on the console. But. So consciously striving for the physical impact, Christian rock reduces spiritual truths to a physical experience. Listeners are deceived into believing that they had a spiritual encounter with Yahweh, when in reality, that experience was only physical excitement. By stimulating the physical, sensual aspect of human nature, rock music throws the order of our life out of balance. And the rest of that book, Christian Rock Music by Samuel Bakayoko. Yah's people should respond to rock music by choosing good music instead. Yah's people should choose instead great music that respects the proper balance among melody, harmony, and rhythm. The proper balance among these three reflects and fosters the order and balance in the true believer's life among the spiritual, mental, and physical components of our beings. Great balanced music can and will contribute to keeping our spirit and body blameless at the coming of Yahusha. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. In this new century and this new millennium, Yahveh's people have an unprecedented opportunity to build upon their rich heritage of religious music. At a time when the trend is to replace sacred hymns with secular songs that stimulate people physically rather than elevating them spiritually, it is well to remember that Yahweh summons us to praise Him in the beauty of holiness, or the beauty of being separate, beauty of His pure place. 1 Chronicles 16:20. We're going to be reading part of that David Psalm in 1 Chron 16. And remember that our praise music should reflect the music we expect to sing in the fellowship of the Father and Son in the world to come, New Jerusalem. Are the Father and the Son honored by our music, and is the Spirit of Yahweh honored by our music? And does it reflect the peace, purity, and majesty of Yahweh? Can we imagine singing our music in the assembly one day when we stand before the indescribable majesty of the mighty Yahweh? Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. This means that every aspect of our lives, including our music, should be seen as a preparation for eternity. Then 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I'm reading a portion of this psalm, which is also found in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 105, Psalm 78, and Psalm 96. And it says, 1 Chronicles 16:7, David says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank Yahweh into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all his wondrous works. Esteem and power in his separated name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahweh, our mighty one, the eternal. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations." Boy, if each generation is 40 years, that's 40,000 years he commanded his covenant. And we've only gone through 6,000, 900 some. Now, to verse 29, Give unto Yahweh the power due unto his name. Bring an offering, come before him. Worship Yahweh in the beauty of separation. Fear before him, fear all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, Yahweh reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of Yahweh, because he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is great, for his mercy endures forever. And say ye, save us, O Yahweh, out of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy separated name, and esteem in thy praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, forever and ever. All the people said, Hallel, and praised Yahweh. Check out the website www.biblicalperspectives.com with Samuel Pacioki. Biblicalperspectives.com, rock and roll and church rock. Look in the book's description and the book Christian Rock Music. And may Yahushua the Messiah clean up our listening libraries by the power of his Ruach HaKadosh. This is the Yahweh website. And we've been studying the melody and the spirit, harmony in the mind, the rhythm and the body, the pulse, the rhythm. Keep that in mind. And lift up your hearts unto Yahweh. Praise his name.